This one's going to be entitled Living on Samples. Living on Samples. And I know that most of you, if not all of you, have gone to the grocery store, and sometimes they have these little tables set up. Sometimes in the store, so I'll have three or four of them, depending on what store you're in. And you get to sample something that they're trying to sell. And, you know, you go in there and they taste really good because you've been busy and you've been running around doing stuff and your mind's somewhere else, and all of a sudden you stop at one of these tables and they give you a sample, and it, for some reason, it just seems to taste so good. And this reality is that the samples, I don't know, a lot of times, let's just face it, they probably make the samples taste even better than the actual real thing. Who knows? Maybe they add sugar, maybe they add some, but they just taste so good, and it makes you want to buy what they've got. And I know I've actually had a friend that would go into the stores, and he'd go around and he'd fill up on all the samples he could get. Sometimes he would make two rounds and things like that. And you know, in a kind of a weird way, I've seen Christians do the same thing, where they're just filling up on samples that people are offering, and they're not really eating what they should be spiritually eating, but those samples taste so good to them, so they love going to the store and getting some of those things. Let me read to you out of the book of Numbers, and I'm going to give you an example of this. It's Numbers 13, and I'll be reading quite a few scriptures here, Numbers 13, and I'll start with 17 through 21, and then I'll read 23 through 25. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, whether they be few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether it be tents or in strongholds, and what is the land, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men go to Hamath. Now I'm going to read verse 23 through 25. And they came into the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. All right, so you got this situation where they're not in the land. They're not in the land. But they're going to go in and they're going to take samples. It's going to be a raiding party instead of a group that have set themselves to go possess what God has for them. It's kind of a raiding party to get some of the highlights. And so they go into the land and they bring back samples to everybody. Which, remember, samples are really, really good, especially if you've been out in the desert for 40 years. These things are going to taste really good. And so they've been in there, and then they also start telling of something else that they've found, and that is that they found giants. Now, the interesting thing about these giants is they probably are not going to cause you as much trouble as long as you're outside the land, and all you're doing is going to get samples from their land. You see, they don't feel threatened. We could be talking about the enemy here. They don't feel threatened. They don't feel any reason to attack when they're outside the land. But it's when word came and when it got passed around all through that area that Joshua was going to not lead a raiding party, but Joshua was going to come in and he was going to possess the land. No samples for Joshua. And you do know, I'm sure you do know, but the name Joshua, that's the Hebrew name for the Greek name Jesus, or at least used in the New Testament name. Same word, actually. And so Jesus is not into samples. He is wanting us to possess with him, by him, as the life within us, all that he has for us. Well, Israel's response, though, is that, yeah, oh, the samples are great. They didn't have any problem with the samples. See, just like that friend of mine that would go in these grocery stores and he come back, he wasn't even hungry one time. He came back, he said, I'm full. I said, what have you been eating? Samples. Okay. So the Lord is saying, no, you know, find out what it's like. But he meant find out what the land's like. He never said, you know, go find out if the giants are going to be too much for us. See. And so in their mind, let's don't go in the land. Who knows? Let's just, you know, we know it's a better land than the wilderness, so let's just get samples from the Word from time to time. Let's just get samples from the Lord, or let's get samples from somebody that shares from time to time. But ourselves, let's not go in, because there's going to be more danger. There's going to be more of a problem if I go in there myself. So, let me read another example of this concept of samples. It's out of Genesis 13. It's going to be Genesis 13, 8 through 18. And this one's involving, and most of you know this story, but it's involving Abraham or Abram and his nephew Lot. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? This is what Abraham is saying to Lot. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. This is Abraham's view of this whole thing. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. So Lot's got his eyes on the best sample in the whole land. It's well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him. Then Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, now God's talking to Abraham, Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it. We're getting the Lord's heart here, not sampling things, not just getting a sample and playing it safe. we're getting the Lord's heart. Arise and go in and possess it. The length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And Hebron, or Hebron, means fellowship. He moved himself to fellowship with the Lord in the land where the giants are, by the way. So you have this perfect example. You have the different kinds of hearts. You have the different kinds of people. You have the people that just want the best, but they want it in sample form. And then you see those like Abram, who wants the Lord and wants the length and the breadth and the height and the depth at whatever cost. And that's also Joshua and Caleb. At whatever cost, we are well able to take this land. And then another scripture, and this is from the New Testament, and this verse begins to really start trying to hit home to our hearts, and where the Lord can speak from the New Testament and from the new covenant of his heart. Not just the New Testament scriptures, but the new covenant of his heart. And this is out of Galatians chapter 5. And it's starting in verse 22. And most of us know this scripture. You know, it starts talking about fruit. And before I read it, just remember that that Joshua and Caleb and then the 10 other spies, they went into the land and they brought back fruit. They didn't bring back a giant. They didn't bring back a giant in chains. They didn't mess with any giants. They just brought back the fruit and said, we only want the fruit without the source. We only want the fruit without the source. Now, I travel a lot, and I get to hear a lot of different ministers, and I get to hear a lot of different preachers, and I get to hear a lot of people, and I hear a lot of people talk on this verse, and many of them, and I can't say all, and maybe I've only heard a few compared to some men, but many of them emphasize the fruit, and they never get to the scripture that's within. This is the scripture I'm about to read is like a cluster of grapes. It's like a cluster. And then they leave out part of the cluster. They receive the first part without the last part. They receive the fruit without the source. They receive what they want and what they delight in, which is, isn't that what Lot chose? Lot chose what looked best to him. He picked out he said, I'm going to take the land. I'm going to be in the land. But I'm going to take the best part of it, and I'm going to leave off the part that doesn't appeal to me, or that scares me, or that bothers me, or that would make me uncomfortable. So I'm going to read this now. It's Galatians 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, so what is it talking about? It's talking about fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Well, I'm already happy. Love, joy, peace, that's what I want. Yeah, let's just stick with that. Even within this cluster, though, there are, you know, I mean, even a beautiful rose has thorns, you know. Or you could put it another way. Even thorns has a beautiful rose. And so here it is. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay, so this is God's promised land. This is the real one. That was a shadow. This is the real deal. This is where it's at. And there is fruit in this land. There is fruit to be had. But I didn't finish reading the cluster. The very next verse, after love, joy, peace, gentleness, the very next verse, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So what do we have here? As I said, I mean, I'll be honest with you, in all of my years of hearing in many of these places that I've been, anyone talk on the fruit of the Spirit, I've never heard verse 24 mentioned, and yet it's the verse right after the fruit of the Spirit. And it is also the source of the fruit of the Spirit. See, we say, well, the fruit of the Spirit comes from the Spirit. Yeah, it does, through the cross. And they that are Christ's, see, this isn't they that are special apostles. No, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Okay, so he's talking about fruit. There's a crucified fruit, and then there's a fruit of the cross that is worked in us. Okay? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh, not just the flesh, but with its affections and lusts. These are things like love, but not God's love. These are things like joy, but not God's joy. These are things like drunkenness and meanness and critical spirit and all this stuff. It's all the same thing. It's not Christ. It's not from His Spirit. It's not flowing out of your innermost being. Will flow rivers of living water. So he doesn't say that the way to conquer the flesh is to just get more of the Spirit. He says it's crucified so that it can release this. So they reject the source. Okay, well, let's tie that into what we've been saying. They want samples. They don't want the whole land like Lot. They want the best has the best fruit. They don't want the whole land like Israel when they got to the edge of the land. They want samples, but they don't want what's in the land because they're afraid it might cost them something. Well, yeah, it's going to cost you, meaning your flesh, meaning your preferences and all these things. And so, but here's the deal. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying choose one or the other. Neither is God. In fact, I got this from the Lord. He told me, I'm not saying choose one or the other. He said, the fruit and the source. It's both yours. Take the whole land. Behold, the whole land is before you. Walk through it. That's what God said to Abram. And so we see from this, we can see that spiritually, maybe there are people who are not living in the land. They're not living in the land. They're living as a Christian, but they're not going in and possessing the things that God, possessing the giants, possessing the cross, possessing, and we say, yeah, those bad giants. Well, sometimes those giants are in us. We're not possessing them with the cross. We're just wanting to eat the good fruit and feed it to our giant friends. You know? And God's not wanting that. The scripture says, the whole land is yours. But we become satisfied with, you know, like short excursions into the land. You know, short excursions and small portions of the land. And like I said, like samples, they taste so good. Oh, this tastes so good. There's no cost. See, there's no cost to this thing. And you think of the scriptures, there's two different places, one in the Old Testament and the other one in the New, where the Lord says they have the Word of God, they have the scroll, and the Lord says, eat it. Don't just read it, eat it. I'm going to write a song that says that someday. Don't just read it, eat it. And when both of them, when they put it in their mouth, it's sweet. It's sweet to their taste. But when it gets on the inside of them, there's a bitterness. See, we don't... Okay, and I know it's almost time to quit, but the Passover, or the Lord's Supper, the Passover. Oh, I'm just going to eat the lamb. I'm just going to eat the lamb, and I'm going to... Well, there's bitter herbs there, too. It's part of the meal. He didn't say, take a sample of the lamb and forget the rest of the meal. You know. And that bitter herbs, we just have to realize it's not God hating us or whatever. It is the necessity of the work of the cross, because if we don't, then the whole land isn't possessed. And there's two different ways of looking at this. If we're the land, Jesus is in us and he wants to possess every part of us. Okay, that's just one angle. If Jesus is in us, he wants to be able to walk anywhere inside of us and not find locked doors and closets that you can't enter into and stuff like that. And if Jesus is the land and we're supposed to possess it, then we're supposed to go in, and if you know, it's like you go in and you're going to face enemies. The giants are in there. And you're going to face enemies. And so the Spirit of God says, possess Christ. Don't focus on the enemies. Possess Christ. Set your heart on Jesus, the whole land. Set your heart on the whole land. Don't find little special things about Jesus and make that Jesus. You know, and say, that's Jesus. No, there's some things that are hard. There's some things that are, but isn't the Lord worth it? You know, anybody that's done anything worthwhile has had to go through hard things. Not even Christians. Anybody. They've had to go through hard things. And so the Spirit of God convicts me, and the Spirit of God says to me, where's your heart, Randy? Where's your heart? Is your heart with me? Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be also. And am I your treasure? And if the Lord is my treasure, then I have to dump old school treasures. I have to dump what was treasured before I met Jesus. I have to dump it. And I have to say, Lord, I want you and I want all of you. And I don't want to take samples anymore. I want your Spirit to lead me deeper into the land than I've ever been before. Not samples. Not samples. Anyway, how about we pray? Father, just open our hearts more and more. You have here with you a people that love you and that deeply desire you. And so we cry out together. We're not alone. We cry out together. We hold on to one another, and we pray for one another, and we cry out together. Father, open our eyes to see Jesus. And not just open our eyes, but move our feet, our spiritual walk, more and more into the land to possess him. No longer just stopping and getting samples of what appears good to us, but embracing the fullness of Christ crucified. We ask in Jesus' name.